I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Dirt and Sprague.
More than anything, it's going to serve as motivation for us. We're right there, certainly close to be able to accomplish it. Only one team gets to taste it. So we got a chance to go, continue to improve, see what the best version of us is, and see what happens.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brendan Sprague.
Tarek Skubal's day is done at Comerica Park. You never know where life takes you. We don't know. He doesn't know. Tigers fans are thinking one thing. Thanks.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice little Thursday morning. Thanks for being with us. Good morning, everybody. Hope your drive's going well. Your morning's going well.
Got to get off to a good start on a Thursday. We're almost there, man. It's almost Friday.
Yeah.
There's no time now for a bad day. It's only good days here on out.
Do you ever get close to the weekend and maybe you don't have something super pressing or scheduled and you start to feel the pressure of what to do for the weekend because you don't have anything
yeah,
scheduled?
Yeah, we got to get something on. Nothing's on the calendar. Let's get something on the calendar. Why do we have an open day on a Saturday? What are we doing here?
Well, we had something a couple days ago. We were supposed to go up to the forest and the lake in the mountain. And then we looked at the weather, and on Saturday, it's going to be 60 degrees, raining.
You're not going to do that one.
Sounds awful.
Wiping that one off the list.
No, nope. Scratch it off. I'm not doing that.
You don't want to go outside in the rain and the cold at the mountain at 60 degrees?
Not remotely
Come
interested,
on, man,
no.
On a Saturday?
No.
I feel like this is more of a older kid parent problem. Like, you, how many weeks left do you have of summer before school starts?
Probably about six.
Six more weeks? Really, that many?
Well, I mean, they don't go back till...
When is the first week of school? Well, after Labor Day, right?
After Labor Day.
After
yeah,
Labor
Tuesday
Day.
After Labor Day.
So you got about a little over a month to go.
Five weekends left.
Are you feeling the crunch of the last month of summer? You got to jam some stuff in there over the last 4 weeks. If I see an open day on the calendar for a weekend, I'm usually... I welcome it with open arms.
Yeah, we have six weekends left.
Six weekends left, yeah. Man. The countdown has begun. You get your school supplies
but see,
yet?
It's not a... Well, no, that's not really a thing anymore.
No.
It's not a pressure of, like, the summer's ending for the kids. This is about me.
Oh, it's about you capitalizing. You want to do something.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have that feeling at all.
There's an empty spot on the calendar.
Yeah. You want to fill it?
I don't know if I want to fill it. I like being non-committal, but then sometimes I'll have a no Saturday plan.
Sure.
And it's 2:30 in the afternoon. My Saturday is almost half gone. I've done nothing.
You got nothing accomplished.
I
love a good no nothing accomplished Saturday. Those are delightful. Based on my weekend last weekend, I had an open calendar and we did not fill it with literally anything.
I'm not mad at the open calendar. It's more like it's Thursday. I'm a couple days away from this and I have no idea what I'm going to do.
What you're going to do?
It's too late to book a golf tee time.
Probably too late.
Everybody's booking those.
Unless you're willing to play super early or super late, probably jam-packed in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, so maybe I do like a late twilight Saturday golf thing, and that's kind of what I have to look forward to outside of whatever else we end up doing.
Not a bad way to fill your hole right there. I haven't played a round of golf since Father's Day, man.
Oh, really?
I think Father's Day was my last round of golf, yeah.
You haven't played one this summer?
No, I don't think I played a single round of golf. I can check my gin, see my posts and scores. I don't believe I played a round of golf in the month of July. I don't think I got one in.
Boy,
the summer
sad.
Of dirt has failed miserably.
Yeah,
dude.
Somebody asked me the other day.
Failed miserably.
I think it was my last round. How you've been playing? And I was like, I think he's playing pretty well. I think he's playing more often now.
My last posted round was at Eastmoreland on June 21st. I shot an 82. That was my last posted round.
That's over a month ago.
Yeah, you're telling me, brother. You're telling me. Now that you bring that up, I did look at this weekend as a decent potential weekend to golf. We have there's a street fair thing on Saturday that the wife wants to go to in Selwood. They're closing down one of the streets, tents.
Yeah.
It's like 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
I went to that last week, Montevilla Street Fair.
Got to go to a street fair.
Yeah.
So we got the street fair on the books. Other than that, we got an open card.
The street fair, I have mixed reactions on street fairs.
I do too.
So it was my idea to go to the Montevilla one.
Okay, you want to go check it out?
And I knew they were going to cut off a huge portion of Stark.
Yes.
Got there, parking was an utter disaster.
Yeah.
Neighborhoods were built in Portland in a way that they're like, nobody will ever live here.
You know, they're just side streets. They're all narrow. You're trying to find a place. It's jam-packed because there's nowhere else to park.
You're parking a half mile away at minimum.
Yep. Now you're walking 15
minutes. So that's fine. Whatever. I knew parking would suck. We get to the street fair. I walk up, and you know what the first tent I see is? And this is a little bit of my problem. You go to a street fair, what are you prepared for? You're prepared for homemade soaps and candles.
Have to have homemade soaps. Jewelry. Homemade jewelry. Homemade jewelry's got to be there.
Tie-dye.
T-shirts. Tie-dye.
Some kind of woodworking. Usually somebody's got like a cutting board or like a, you know, something, a tray of some kind.
Absolutely. You're going to have now 3D printed toys. It sucks all the kids into the tent and parents spend $20 on toys that are going to break.
Yep.
And then you've got your random mix of a food, maybe a fresh squeezed lemonade.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's we had like
somebody serving coffee somewhere probably if it's early in the day.
Derby Adult League or something. I was like, okay.
All right.
The first tent I saw, a bank.
A bank.
And look, I get it. Like,
what are we selling? Are they selling checking accounts? You want to open up a checking account?
Was there like a mobile ATM?
No, it was like a bank, like an actual brick and mortar bank with a tent there. And they.
Yeah.
Think, like, what are we doing here, you know? I didn't come here to check out a bank tent.
Agree completely with the take here. I'm 100% on board with the take. There should not be infomercial tents at a street fair.
Yes, and I feel like they're starting to pop up a little bit too much.
If you have a business in the neighborhood, you're allowed to open up a tent, and then do you want to come talk about savings accounts? And it's like, no, I don't want to talk about savings accounts. I appreciate the hustle and the free advertising you're getting out of this.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not interested in opening an account with your bank. I'd like the opportunity to buy some fresh fruits and vegetables. That would be nice.
It's great.
I'll take that over it. Great. I'd like more live food options, right? Like actual go get like a churro or something. Give me that over, you know, a local bank with a checking account. Yeah. I'm going to get more use out of that on a Saturday. I'm with you. 100% they should not be allowed at the street fair.
Well,
you should be selling a good or service that I could buy right there in person.
Yeah, I agree with
that. That's a handicrafty thing. Like, that's the whole point of a street fair.
They also had their regular Saturday market that Montevilla has. It's in a rock parking lot, but and it's right off of Stark.
So you have both going on at the same time?
And they're right next to each other. Hmm. So I just thought, does this help or hurt the Montevilla Saturday market crew who are there every week?
Right.
But now you've got this whole street of, you know, festivities going on. Live music was happening.
Right.
All these businesses, like, you know, all the local businesses on the drag had some tent out.
They're all out there.
And I just thought, are the Saturday market people happy about this? Are they actually not like a big street fair? Because now you've diverted some of their customer base.
You're sucking our attention away.
Maybe I don't buy the local cabbage grown in your backyard off Foster.
Right.
Maybe I instead buy the Indian taco from the Native American food stand.
Now I'm going to go open a bank account at Chase. That's what I'm going to do at your street fair. How about that? I've been looking for a new bank. Look at that. They were right there waiting for me with open arms, man.
There was that in real estate. And I just thought, really?
I chuckle every time, too, when I walk through those. And I will do this again on Saturday because I know those tents will exist. And I love looking at the people who are there on a Saturday for a long day and just thinking to myself, none of them want to be here right now. You know, that was like a raffle thing at work that week of like, all right, guys, hold on.
An extra.
We got a street fair on Saturday. We're going to need a 10 to 2 crew and a 2 to 6 crew. Who wants to take the first shift? And you know nobody's offering for that. Unless you were already working and now maybe you get to hang out outside for the day. But if you weren't scheduled, I always think that of like, you poor bastard. You got to sit in this tent for 7 hours.
Well, banks are open on Saturday, but it's limited hours, right?
It's shorter. They usually close a little bit earlier, open a little bit later, close a little bit earlier.
It was pretty hot, I will say. But also, would you rather have the one-off experience of not having to be in the building where you work
just standing
and go
outside,
to the street fair to experience the human element?
I think I'd rather be in the building in a shorter
shift.
You'd
rather go back?
I think I'd rather just be sitting back there. There's probably not a lot of activity, right? You're just kind of hanging out behind the kiosk or the desk. You're not doing a ton. You're standing back there. Now you're out there. You got to talk to people. It's a whole thing.
Every tent I walk by that has nobody in it, and it looks like they don't get many people, and mentally I walk by and I go,
oh, poor people. They usually have some giveaway that nobody wants to. Like, hey, you want this little squeeze plush ball? You want one of these? Do you need a beer koozie? Would you like a bank beer koozie? No, I'm okay. I'm never going to use that thing at home. I'm all right. Now that we're on this, can I ask a question as well?
Because you're going to do what I did. You're going to walk this street fair maybe twice.
It's a disaster with a 2-year-old,
You'll buy not very many things, but you'll buy something that you don't really want to buy.
Right.
And then you'll leave and you go, I still think I like street fairs, but I have not enjoyed my last couple street fairs.
The aesthetic of closing down, like they're doing it down 13th and Selwood, which is a main drag. And so it's like the aesthetic of closing, it's kind of fun. Like, hey, we're walking in the middle of the street.
Oh, I love that.
Like, hey,
yeah.
You know, freedom. That's kind of fun. But yeah, every time I leave, I'm like, that was kind of a waste of time. But we did it because it was in the neighborhood and we could walk up. Two-year-old just, Teddy's just going to go crazy too. He just runs around. He doesn't stop. Yep. Now he's going behind tents. Now he's working at this one. Like, all right, now I got to get him on a leash. This is ridiculous. Can I ask a question about soliciting things? What is the hit rate of a Jehovah's Witness door knocker? What's the percentage of conversion there? And is the juice worth the squeeze? Because I've had two in the last like 3 weeks, and I saw them coming from the other side of the street last week. They stick out like a sore thumb. They're all dressed nicely on a Saturday. I'm out watering in a cutoff T-shirt. I see them across the street going door to door knocking.
You need to change your view
and I
on
immediately
that.
Turned my water off and walked inside and closed the curtains just so they ended up putting something on my door.
Get
and I'm
a
like,
beer.
No.
You need to go get a beer.
Crack it right
Pop
in front of them.
One right there.
What are you guys selling, huh? Good morning.
Put your devil horns
on. Can I get you one?
You guys want an IPA from the fridge? You need
exactly.
one right here? Yeah?
You guys
need
want to a gummy flip it for around on huh? them.
What's going on here?
I think the hit
What's
rate.
What's the hit rate? It's got to be less than a percent, right?
It's got to be.
Tell them you got a birthday party to go to later.
Swag, look this up. I think the hit rate, conversion rate, whatever you want to call it, for a Jehovah's Witness door-to-door, I think it is whatever he finds when he searches Mitchell Robinson 3-point percentage.
Ooh, what's higher? Mitchell Robinson?
No, I think it's exactly
That's
what
exactly
their hit
the
rate
number
is.
Well, I just, the bank like tent thing got me thinking of like, who's walking around in a street fair like, oh, yeah, let's open up a savings account.
Oh, I want to go to this bank
tent. I never thought about opening up a checking
Mitchell
account.
Mitchell Robinson's
you.
Career 3-point percentage is zero. He's never made
He's
a three.
He's never made a three.
In the NBA.
I mean, has anybody ever had somebody knock on the door and thought, you know what? That's a great idea. I'm going to join your religion.
I noticed
I've
this.
I've been sitting around my neighborhood
Clearly
thinking about
it works
because
there's people in those churches on the weekend.
I think that's a fail. I think it's a pass down thing. You know what I mean?
It had to start somewhere.
No offense. You do you, boo, but.
Yeah, it did.
There are some.
An old white guy somewhere just randomly started it with a bunch of other people. And
I got an idea.
Yeah.
How about no presents for Christmas?
How about we don't celebrate your birthday?
No, Dad, no! No!
You know what's funny is we were driving last weekend and running errands, and we were over in a section of town, kind of near Clackamas in Portland, and we were at a red light off Foster, and there was a guy with a Jesus sign. And he didn't have like a megaphone.
Sure.
And I would say he was probably in his.
Was he a peaceful Jesus guy? He's not yelling at you about burning in hell?
Young 20 to old 20. Okay. Like he's a 20-year-old looking guy, right?
Yeah.
So he's got a buzzed head, regular t-shirt and shorts. And all he has a sign of, it just says Jesus.
Yeah.
And I always look. And then that comes out of nowhere is this guy walking. He's got a skateboard in his hand. He looks like a young cat, too. He might be in his 17 to 23-year-old range, right?
Right.
He starts talking to the guy. The guy turns. They start communicating. And I just thinking to myself, like, this never works.
No.
And then, as I'm thinking this, the guy with the Jesus sign pulls out a card.
Oh, here you go.
Hands it to the young guy.
What do you need?
He looks at it, and he starts nodding his head. And
he
I
converted
went,
one? He got one on
this
the team?
Is the first conversion or person to maybe say they'll show up to the church on a corner God confessional, whatever you want to call those speeches or whatever.
Sure.
I'd never seen it before. Usually, I'm like 99% seeing them avoided.
Right.
And I see a
Head
young
down,
guy.
Head down, you just keep walking. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. Don't look at him.
Yeah, I was blown away. I was like, I guess it does. There's people that do come up.
Here's what I'll say. If you set up shop and you're just, chatting with people as they walk by, I'm okay with that. That's okay. You're in a public space. You want to do whatever you want to do in a public space. That's all right. I think we need a national ban on door-to-door anything. Whether you're
well,
trying
how
to,
is the religion thing not count as soliciting like, if you have a no soliciting
Like somebody sign. Said, they're not trying to convert you. They're just sharing something positive from the Bible. And I know that because I've once answered the door for a Jehovah's Witness, and it was a mom who brought her like 4-year-old daughter. And I opened the door, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, now I feel this is weird. And then she asked, do you want my daughter to read you a Bible verse? And I think I was peer pressured into, I said, sure. And I literally stood there for like 3 minutes and she read me a verse.
Sure.
I mean, I felt bad. It's a little girl knocking on my door, trying to grind out there for the witnesses. And I said, sure, go ahead. And she read me a verse from the Bible. And I said, okay, is that it? And they said, yep. And so like I know that's part of it, but why is that allowable? Can I go knock on your door and spread the word of Oregon football?
Probably.
Hey, you got some time today? I'd love to talk to you about Oregon's too deep on the defensive line. Have you seen the highlights of Nasir Wyatt in the Peach Bowl last year? Look, I know it was a bad game, but that forced fumble that he had nearly changed the momentum in the second quarter. I think he's in for a really big year, too.
Sir, don't be a doubter and a non-believer in Lanning just because it didn't show itself last year.
He has not won a championship yet does not mean that he will not reappear with a championship at some point.
He, with little faith, will not be invited to our parade when we host that Natty up.
Like, dude, this is not just a Jehovah's Witness thing. It's the we are a pest control. It's a, hey, you looking for new internet? No, I'm not looking for new internet.
We got that. Then you got the Mormon kids on the bikes riding around.
They knock on the door, too. We should ban this. You should not be able to knock on my door on a Saturday. I'm in my house enjoying my peaceful time. Half the time the dog barks. Sometimes the kid's napping, and now the kid's awake. Now I'm just pissed off, and I will hate whatever entity did that to my front door.
It is one of the nice things about being in a condo, and we're, like, deep into the condo. We're not out front.
They don't go into your place.
No. But ironically, that's like shooting fish in a barrel. You can knock on how many doors in a short amount of time in a condo complex. You don't got to walk house to house.
No,
all right there.
You get discovered pretty quick. There's phone calls. There's people coming to you.
This is one of the main benefits of Ring cameras. Ring cameras will probably bring us all down because they're like the original flock camera. But the idea being it would be like, nope, not answering that one.
I mean, how many people are just knocking randomly on your door anyway?
Not very often.
You have a peephole?
I do not have a peephole, no. No peephole on the front door. The Ring camera is my peephole.
Yeah.
You just open the, you hear something.
That's tough.
You open the app.
Hey, does your mom randomly pop in?
Occasional pop in. My dad brought some corn down the other day.
Didn't even tell you he was coming over. Just
I knew he was coming to drop it off, but I didn't know what time he was coming.
But if you knew he was coming, you at least know what a knock is. If you don't have a lot of pop-ins, you know what a knock is.
He also is smart enough now knowing if I'm showing up around nap time, like, don't make a ruckus. And I think I was watching TV on the couch, and I just saw his head. We got a little glass window at the top of the front door. I'm like, oh, hey, he's here. I just saw the top of his head.
Yeah. I mean, the pressure of, like, talking to people who are selling you on something, whether it's a business or it's a religion, it's tough. You know, I was at the mall yesterday, ran some errands. I made a mistake of wearing Jordans. Don't wear Jordans at a mall.
Not a good idea.
No, because you'll walk down the mall like a normal human being.
Yes, wearing Jordans.
And a kiosk in the middle will be a young guy in all Nike and Jordan gear going, hey, yo, man, those shoes look busted. You want to sit down for a minute? I'll show you how to make them better. No, man, I'm good.
No, the kiosk at the mall is this, too. The kiosk at the mall needs to get eliminated.
Well, it's funny because I've worn...
they just haggle you walking down.
I've worn running shoes, and I walk right past them. Not peep.
Nothing.
You wear any level of a Jordan.
Nah.
Hey, yo, man.
Hey!
Those look a little scuffed. I'm good.
I'm all right, man.
I'm 40.
I'm okay.
I live in the burbs.
I've had these for 15 years.
I don't care about this anymore. I'm out of the game, young man.
I'm trying to go to Forever 21 and buy a nice T-shirt, all right?
I wear these shoes till they die.
I went and watched Jordan play while wearing these.
The kiosk in the mall is a great pull because they do the exact same thing.
They kind of do,
They are absolute terrorists of the walkway of the mall, and they need to get out.
The only difference
is... you don't even have a real storefront. You're just standing in the area. Everybody's walking it.
But you're in their territory as opposed to them coming to your door.
That is fair.
That is different.
That is fair. But I'd like to walk through the mall in peace without getting haggled every 17 feet about buying something.
Swag, what's Mitchell Robinson's free throw percentage?
Let's go back to see
Mitchell. We can't do 0-0.
No.
He's never taken a three in an NBA game.
Not even one. Yeah.
Well, I guess they've eliminated the
heave. They've eliminated that the last year or two.
Okay.
All right, let me pull Mitchell.
Because we were doing Hack'em Mitchell Robinson in the finals.
They were sending
all the players.
Stats.
Is it 20?
Free throws. Regular season career, 50.8%, but he was 40.8 last year.
40.8. I'm going to use that.
Okay. 40.8%.
What has a higher percentage
of
conversion
rate? It's got to be Mitchell Robinson,
Mitchell Robinson free throw line
has
to be. Religion door to door.
Has to be Mitchell Robinson.
Okay.
I just think if you're seeking religion, you're going to go find it.
That's kind of how I feel. But like, there are some people, I guess, occasionally, well, it's like they want to be talked to.
According to the guy you saw on the street the other day, he got one.
That's what I'm saying.
That's more than I've ever seen converted. Yeah. Also, good if you're a Jesus guy on the corner, don't be the bullhorn yell guy.
Nah.
Don't be everybody's going to hell guy.
Let's be
a positive Jesus preacher
here.
There was
one of those outside of Disney a few years when we went, like, at the entrance.
Screaming.
At 8 a.m. Yeah.
Every Oregon football game you ever go to, outside of the main entrance in
Forgive
Autzen,
you for your sins.
There's a guy there with a speaker that's bigger than him walking around telling
just
you
read him
burn
this
in
press
eternity.
Release from the NFL. Jameson's is now the official spirit sponsor of the National Football League.
There you go.
Here we go.
Talk about a sin.
That's my religion on Sunday.
Yeah, man, it's a good religion on Sunday. Somebody said, Dirt just created the greatest fantasy football punishment. That's actually pretty solid.
A door-to-door?
You have to go door-to-door through, I don't know what neighborhood you would choose, and I don't know if you just tell them about it. Do you have a moment to talk about how bad I am at fantasy football? Can I tell you? I didn't pick up anybody on the waiver wire for a month. What was I thinking? That's actually a pretty good idea.
Do you believe in a trade deadline, sir? Let me talk to you about it.
Do you believe in PPR leagues or traditional scoring?
Yeah, dude. Point per catch. Your running back get hurt the second week of the season that you took with the second overall pick? Me too, and I finished in last place because of it.
All right, well, we'll post some poll questions up from our conversation. Good morning. Happy Thursday. It is a loaded show. We have Big Ten Media Day to react to. Dan Lanning spoke yesterday. We got some Blazer news. Got a lot of NFL stuff today. It's going to be fun, and it's a Magic Hat Thursday. Dirt and Sprague, buckle up. Let's get it going. 105.1 The Fan.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back in. 626, 105.1 The Fan, Dirt and Sprague. Good morning. Hello. Two poll questions are up from our leading segment.
Our opening rants of the day.
What has a higher percentage of conversion rate, Mitchell Robinson free throw percentage or door-to-door religion? Right now, Mitchell Robinson is winning that.
Got to be it. Got to be the answer.
And the second poll question, just literally posted it. Should banks have vendor tents at your local street fair? Yes or no?
It's a hard no for me, Bob.
Get out of here.
Hard no for me. I did enjoy a couple thoughts. Somebody said, is there anything worse than having the no soliciting sign on your door and people still knock on your door? That, I mean, you should be able to be arrested. You should arrest somebody for that.
Well, I've given this advice if people haven't heard it before, and I think many have. We do have that up.
You have the sign up?
We still get knocks from window companies,
sure,
and solar panel companies and ant pest control companies.
You got a lot of ants right now? Everybody's got a lot of ants right now.
The quickest way out of those, if you are inclined to answer the door and not just ignore it every
sure.
time.
Or accidentally, you're not paying attention, you just happen to open it, and they're like, ah, damn it.
You said, hey, thanks, man, but I'm a renter. They will walk away and barely say goodbye to you because they've realized you have zero control or say in the situation.
That's a great idea.
And they're not talking to the person making the financial decision, so peace out, see you later, want nothing to do with
it's
you.
It's a different version of mom and dad aren't home right now. Sorry, yeah, nothing I can do for you, man.
That's
I gotta,
exactly what it
let
is.
Let me call my mom. I'll get back to you in a couple of days. Somebody said we own a camper van, and there's always people knocking on our door to see if we want to sell it. There's not even a for sale sign anywhere. That's just egregious behavior.
People just asking
Ridiculous.
To buy your camper
Knocking
van?
On your door like, hey, I see you got a camper in the driveway. You ever thinking about selling that thing? No, I'm not actually. My dad had an old Toyota pickup truck way back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those cool, like, I wish he would have held on to that a little bit longer, like 1984 two-door red Toyota pickup truck. People used to leave. I would be willing to say once a month he would get a letter underneath his windshield wiper with somebody offering to buy the truck. Because people would just be walking in the neighborhood.
That's a little different than
totally
door-to-door
different.
Talking.
That's the
though,
way
you know?
Do it. Like, if you slip something, he'd get into the truck and do, you know, hey, we're going to go take a load of the dump or whatever. Like, oh, look at that. There's a little note right here. Let's open it up. And it'd be somebody with a phone number saying, if you're ever going to sell this truck, can you please sell it to me? That's okay, because you're not bothering my time. I can rip that up and throw it away or hold on to it if I ever decide to drive the truck.
I had a brief, very quick moment of my life where I didn't really know where I was going in my life, and I didn't do college right away. I moved to Tacoma to be closer to family I didn't grow up with, and I was working at a pretty decent job, but I hated it. So I quit, and I was pretty certain I was going to go to Oregon State, but I had this weird, like, couple months. I tried the Kirby vacuum.
You did the door-to-door thing?
Well, I literally did it for like 45 minutes, yeah, and then I quit.
I can't do this, dude.
I went to a thing. I had to watch a speech or like a video.
Right.
I had to listen to somebody tell me the approach you should take when you knock on a door.
Right.
And then they gave me the district or the area I had to go to. And I think I got two doors in and I went, I hate this. I'm
this
not
is
doing
ridiculous.
This. And I literally, I just left.
The closest, there was almost a guy who got me months ago. Right after we moved into the house, I had a chaotic day. And I remember somebody knocked and I was like, I didn't know if it was a neighbor. I'm like, what's going on here? And I go and open the door. And it's a guy selling some pest control something or whatever. The dog pokes his head out the door. So now I'm like trying to bring the dog back inside.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, now I'm just standing on the porch. And he starts talking to me. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go back inside. I was wearing, I have a Navy football cutoff t-shirt that's got holes in it that I've had for years. And he dropped a, did you play football at Navy? And for a brief moment, I was like, well, no, but thanks for asking. And then I was like, wait a minute. He's just buttering me up to try and get my business. No, damn it.
Here we go.
I'm going back inside. How dare you try and appeal to my vanity? What's the matter with you?
And you look like you work out. You look, spell. Thanks, dude.
For like 5 seconds, I'm like, well, no, but I probably could have. And then I was like, damn it. His line totally worked on me. Don't do it. Don't fall for the bait.
That reminds me of a take I heard yesterday. What's your take? It's this Instagram video story. The guy always asks some random person. It's usually a comedian. He goes, what's your take? He goes, I think men work out for other men, not women. And the guy goes, disagree, dude. I'm trying to be in good shape. He goes, yeah, but you really want your bro to go, dude, your
dude,
pecs?
Look good over there, dog.
Looking good. He
Have you looked
laughing.
At your calves lately, man?
Goes, bro, those arms are getting kind of big.
This goes back to a bit we did years ago where men need to comment on Instagram posts like women do. Slay queen.
Oh.
We need that. We need a little bro on bro love out there.
So
hell yeah, dog. Traps looking solid.
This is a really it's really funny you say that. I do that to my friends.
Do you post like that?
When
yeah.
they post photos, I will do like the nails emoji with the
yeah,
the paint.
Girl.
Slay queen.
Look at you out there. Oh, look at you TCBing out there, man. Dominating.
Oh,
keep
man.
Killing it, brother.
All right, let's get serious.
Oh, okay. What do we got today?
I think we need to get serious. So I'm looking behind me. I can't really see it.
No. Oh, yeah.
All right. Days since bad news. It says one, but I think it starts over.
Patrick Harris was not here yesterday, too, and he's the guy who does the board.
Nothing happened really yesterday till late.
No. There was no – yeah.
Because we didn't get the Orem story until late afternoon, early evening.
Also a bit of a combo platter of some good and some bad in there. They're showing up at least.
Okay, you took good.
I mean, Dwayne Hankins going to the meeting to me was good news because we, as of 3 days ago, it was they're not going to be there.
Right.
And now the president of the team is going to be there. Will anything happen? Probably not. But the president being there was a bit of good news for me.
So what did you make of the Oregonian piece of Tom Dundon and trying to remove this first class stipulation before they start having negotiations? Orem and the Oregonian did a report on it. You can go find it.
Yep.
It is, it's by... It's Bill Orem and...
There's another gal that's reporting on this. I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
Why is she not on the byline?
Yeah, she should be. Her stuff is at the bottom.
Yeah. I saw him shout her out. But anyways, going through it, there is a clause the Blazers have had since 1995, and it's called the first class standard provision.
Yes.
So basically, the Blazers since 1995 have agreed to keep in good faith the Moda Center up to date-ish. Keep it first class.
It's a first class arena.
Because
now,
remember,
what's the definition of that? Your guess is as good as mine.
There was a legislator that was threatening to sue.
Steve Novick,
because it wasn't first class. But then also, he was saying they shouldn't fund the building as a city because...
This is so stupid.
It's very weird. Anyways, Dundon is now, according to the Oregonian... pissed off. Now, there is, it feels a little, I don't know if you took this away, and this is where Bill, for some people, gets into a little bit of like a hot takey.
Yeah.
It feels like he is suggesting that because Dundon wants this provision removed before they sit down to negotiate.
That he's going to move the team.
That he's going to move the team. Now, we have gone through the list. St. Louis does not seem viable. Kansas City, get it out of here. We've gone through the cities.
Yeah.
I don't believe they're leaving, but it kind of comes off like he is suggesting that is part of the MO of Dundon to remove the first class provision clause.
I think this entire thing shows how dumb the city has been and how Tom Dundon's behavior is going to hurt him in this moment. And by that, I mean, like, you have to have some sort of viable backup plan. Just in case, right? Break glass in case of emergency. That's what this is for the city.
Lisa Gary, by the way. Lisa Gary.
She's doing great reporting on this, and it was just from the Blazer side. So you have to have that protection in place. If the team is to move, you got to be able to sue, right? You got to be able to recoup some money. That is not a threat you throw out before the negotiations even begin. By the way, you know what we could do? You know what the hell? Let's sue you. Let's sue you and get some money out of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's poor.
Like, it's just
it's
a ridiculous negotiating tactic, and it's dumb. And this is so ridiculous on the city side. The other side of this is that if Tom Dundon had spent any moment of time over the last, when did he take over as owner? It feels like it's been 17 years. It's been, what, 4 months, 5 months? Not even that long.
When did we find out it was Dundon?
He took
that front office sports.
Oh, I think
that was a year ago, right?
December.
Yeah, no, I thought it was earlier than that.
Right?
Yeah,
he took over. Well, he didn't take over. He took over in like May. It went that
March.
Quickly to approve.
No. Yeah, it's only a 5-6 month process.
Oh, okay. I thought it was last summer, but maybe I'm wrong on
that.
Well,
I think that's when the public found out. I think stuff was already going on behind the scenes.
Sure.
I mean, they had to vet him.
I thought it was November, December of last year when it became public.
October.
Oh, okay. October. Even further.
So the point being, though, that since he took over the team, how many things has he done to build goodwill with the city and the fan base? And the answer is zero, right? Like, we can debate, and we have ad nauseum, day in and day out, week after week, this cost-cutting move, that decision, this call, that, like, we've done it at length. But the one thing that remains true is that there's not a lot of positive goodwill for him. And had he spent the last handful of months building that goodwill up with the city, pretending that he gives a rip about us as citizens of Portland and keeping the team here, him asking for this request, I think, would have been greeted much more warmly, if you will, of like, hey, guys, look, we've made a lot of goodwill here. We've made a lot of progress. Can we just get rid of this thing so we can get this kind of cloud over our head so I know this won't happen? And maybe the council members would be willing to work with him. But when you've done nothing but build bad will with the city and the fan base, essentially, why the city council cannot let this go. This is their last hope at recouping any sort of money in case of an emergency, in the case of the Blazers leaving. It's a very simple solution. You sign the lease, we give you the money, the threat of the lawsuit goes away, but this is apparently the sticking point going into today's public testimony.
The Blazers spokesman Charles Boyle told the Oregonian, quote, "We need the city to take the prospect of litigation off the table by affirming the work the team has done to maintain Moda Center in a first-class condition." He also called it a critical first step to unlock a freer flow of information.
And maybe the city blinks, but it's also a huge gamble because I also don't think the team is going to leave. But we also cannot be 100% certain of that until a lease is signed. So whether it's 2%, 1%, 5%, wherever you're at mentally.
So who blinks on this one? Who would you bet blinks on this one?
I would bet that the city blinks on this one before the team does, because I think there's more of a sense of urgency on their side and clearly has been over the last few weeks to get a deal done, but that's just a guess.
If you believed my theory, and I still haven't seen any proof to suggest I'm right, so I may not be right. If you believe the theory that the Blazers and the league, or that the league stepped in between the "we're not going to your meeting" to
and then, yeah,
"we're going to your meeting" like 40 minutes later, if you believe the theory, the league is like, dude, shut up, go to the meeting, the funding is there. If you believe that's a thing, then I might be willing to bet that Dundon actually, despite his history, might blink a little bit on this.
If they blink on it, it's a signal that they're not planning on leaving, in my estimation.
I mean, if they don't, though, you view this as a sign they're leaving?
I don't think it's a sign that they're leaving. I think it's just a massive leverage play on each side. And we are
all this has been is leverage.
That's all it
play.
Is, right? You just want to have the upper hand in the negotiation. I also chuckle at the idea. Now, they did at least put a name behind. What's the guy's name?
Charles Boyle. Or Boy.
I did chuckle at the, what was the quote earlier this week from Dwayne Hankins? Where do they want the negotiating out of? Where do they not want to negotiate through anymore?
The media.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what did they come out with yesterday, the night before the first sit down with
Get
the council
the
and the
class
team?
Provision out of there.
Got it. And they reported that through the media.
Yeah.
So now we're back to negotiating in the media from 3 days ago. We didn't want to negotiate through the media. Can we just
Is
fast
anybody
forward?
Ready for this to be done?
Can I raise my feet too? Can I raise my toesies?
I just want to yell
get
about why we
with.
Didn't get any more wing depth. That's all I
want
to do.
That's all I want, man. That's all I want. Five guards. We're playing
John
five
Tanjay
guards.
John Tanjay can roll to the three.
Oh,
calm down.
I want to talk about how awesome John Damar to watch, but how horrifically awful on defense they've been. That's all I want to do. I want to get mad about the plus minus of Tamani Kamara and Scoot Henderson together.
And here's what I will say, because the idea of the bad news, good news thing, whatever, right? It was a little bit of mixed bag yesterday. I will also just throw this in the silo of, I'm glad at least we know what their main sticking point is. Like, I feel like we've gotten
the
to
Blazers?
That. Yeah, this seems like this is their biggest, hill to die on of, like, you have to eliminate this. And all the other stuff has kind of become more riffraff background noise in terms of the requests that they have. And I'm hopeful that we get some positive momentum out of today.
Would you be in support? Let me ask you this, both of you, and then we'll go.
Yeah.
Would you guys be supportive of the city if they did make the decision to blink and say, okay, it's taken out?
I ultimately would, because I don't think the team is going to move.
But if they left.
Boy, oh boy, your butt's out there flapping in the wind right now.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if you're okay with them doing it and they ultimately left because that's what he waited for.
You get the provision gone, now we're out of here.
Zero ability to criticize the city officials.
Goose egg.
If you're like, yeah, do it, man, let's get this done. And then he goes, see you later, thank you.
Joke's on you.
You can't be on a microphone and be like, city council screwed this up. Like,
nope.
Bro, you would have done the same thing.
I haven't parsed the language of the lease, the existing lease. Do they have to get rid of the first class clause in order to agree to a moratorium on any litigation they are okay? So if the city just says,
so his perspective would be, I'm worried that you still sue me, and this provision exists, and you hold me to something that's
their
the
argument.
First class standard. Now I'm spending my own money.
And the city's argument is, if we get rid of this and then you leave, we have no ammunition
to come
after you.
There's no way for us to get money for you leaving.
I also just think, look, I'm not a legal expert in any way, obviously. Yeah. Like, how do you define that in a court of law? How
first
do you define
standard?
A first class standard in the? Because they have done things now. Is it first class enough? I don't know. You got to do video boards. They've done some stuff at the Moda Center.
Yeah,
certainly needs a lot more work. How do you define that in a court of law is a $1 million question.
That's a rock and a hard place they found themselves in right
yes,
now.
Yes, it is.
But hey, they're meeting today.
Dwayne Hankins is coming. That is, to me, a very good sign.
I don't know if that's going to be a good meeting or an okay meeting or a great meeting. It'd be awesome to come out and be like, actually, there's a lot of really good stuff here.
What a positive surprise.
You know, the next step would be seeing Tom Dundon's face in Portland, but we don't know if that's going to happen.
I feel like I want to do the Hassan Whiteside. We got a meeting! It's happening!
They're sitting down!
They're talking!
All right, 6:42. We're back with more on The Fan.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, we got a lot to get to in the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. Tell you what's on the menu here at the top of the hour. We will dive into Dan Lanning, the full Lanning experience on this radio program. I was perusing yesterday. I caught the Big Ten Media Day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Heard Dan Lanning live.
Yes. I think I watched every Dan Lanning interview we did yesterday. There were a lot of them.
I don't know if I watched all of them. I can't claim that, but I think I hit it like a 70-plus percent clip rate. There was probably a couple that I didn't catch. But
yeah.
I will say this. I was... I don't catch the show as often as I'd like to, but it is football season. I've got my football magazines. I'm thinking about making spreadsheets, boys.
Ooh, I love a good spreadsheet.
Just to, like, get my organized football stuff now. That way we get into the season, I can look back and be like, okay, this is how it was.
Ready to go.
But one podcast I caught yesterday is the Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman pod.
Andy and Ari.
For On 3.
Yep.
And they do a great show. Ari is a good friend of the program. He wants to be on here. The problem is they record exactly at the same time as we're on East Coast time.
You got to do a hang around tape for the next day kind of thing if we ever had him on.
So it's a really tough one. We want to try to get him on the program we can. Their entire latest episode, not entire, I would say 85% of their latest episode, it's entirely about Oregon.
It's like a 65-minute, it's almost an hour and 10 minutes long, too. It's a long one.
They end up making, Ari does his 12 playoff team prediction thing and then tells you how his bracket shakes out. But up until that point, it is all, is Oregon truly ready? Like, you even look at the logo of the podcast, it's like normal Andy Ari. This one is specifically Dan in the yellow and green O font. And so I listened to it. I thought it was really good. I found myself laughing because they were basically saying what I was saying of, just because you ended in blowout means nothing for your next season. But they also acknowledge what Dirt, and I think a lot of Duck fans feel, of like, Yeah, dude, you kind of start wondering some stuff, right? And I was thinking about this yesterday, listening to Lanning talk and doing his interviews. And then I listened to the pod this morning on my way in, of just like, does it feel like for you where he was day one, and I know Georgia beatdown was not great, but day one, Dan Lanning, to today, do you feel like you can confidently tell me Dan Lanning's gotten better as a coach, or do you feel roughly the same from where he was season one?
That's a good question.
Into heading into season five?
It's so hard to quantify. He certainly has gotten better, and as time has gone on, his acquisition of talent has only improved. And that has always been the most intriguing part of Lanning at Oregon, is that when he took over, they ran out half of that roster from day one. By the time he got to year three, he had basically flipped the entire thing. If you look at the portal acquisitions, they were, 20-something year one, teen, like it's gone slowly down to where I think they only brought in 9 or 10 guys, maybe even less than that, in last year's portal class. And so that's the one thing that has absolutely changed. I think with experience, you can say, like, certain moments, how to handle situations, he's been really good. Early in his career, there was the struggle of, mainly against Washington, in these close games, you're finding a way to lose them. And that's kind of flipped a little bit, right? You had the Iowa game when you're down 2 minutes to go, they found a way to win. The Penn State game, you had the lead, blew it, now you're in overtime, found a way to win. They've had a lot of those kind of moments that I think he's gotten better in to a certain extent. But other than that, it's hard to quantify the goodness or badness of a coach, for lack of a better phrase, when he's not a play caller on either side of the ball.
Certainly.
That's the difficult part of it. If he's calling plays and the offense went from here to, wow, we're five times better than we were, it's easy to quantify the guy's a better coach.
But he's at least got a side of the ball that you feel like he might not be calling, but he's contributing.
Side of the ball, certainly. And I do feel like Oregon's defense, albeit not in their biggest moments of the last 2 years, has progressively gotten better. But that goes back to point one of, that's also the acquisition of talent. They've just continued to bring in elite players on that side of the ball, and that is not going to stop with Dan Lanning.
Yeah, when I was thinking about that, I was like, well, how many coaches would I say I have felt that I can say that about?
They've gotten better from where they were.
Cignetti, certainly. Didn't know him at all.
But maybe he was, and that's the funny thing about Cignetti, maybe he was always this way, and we just didn't know
because
he didn't get it.
We didn't know, right? So, like, from where he was year one, day one of Indiana to Natty, I think you have to say it. It's a short sample size.
Yes.
I almost wondered aloud to myself, is Kalen DeBoer the opposite?
Has he regressed in the other way?
Because he came out, he beats Oregon in Eugene. They have this great season. You're like, holy
10
crap.
10-2 year one. Oh,
the
my
Huskies?
God. Won the Alamo Bowl, if I remember correctly.
And then they beat Oregon multiple times the
undefeated.
Next season. They go to the Natty, and you're like, well, surely this dude's it. And, you know, he's been fine, but Alabama's underwhelmed, I think, according to what they were hoping it would be, even though it's only been two seasons. Ryan Day, I think you can make an argument.
Has he gotten better? The funniest
part.
They
won the Natty.
I know.
I think I kind of have to say
the funniest thing about Ryan Day will always be Mario. Certainly, I will acknowledge that. I think Mario's evolved as a coach, and he's certainly taken some of the restrictor plates off of his offense that always held him back at times at Oregon, where we're going to run,
he's been more open minded.
We're going to run duo over and over and over and over again.
He still has disappointing losses in moments,
no doubt about it.
He's more open minded and not quite as stubborn as he was even 2 years ago.
The funniest thing, I love Ryan Day is just a hilarious case study of he had, and I guarantee if you interviewed him and asked him this, there's zero debate or doubt. The lowest moment of his coaching career was losing the game to Michigan at the end of the regular season 2 years ago.
Yeah. And we got death threats.
And his highest moment as a coach happened literally 2 months later. So did he improve as a coach? Because he went from that is the most inexcusable loss I've maybe ever seen with my own two eyes, too. You just won a national championship.
And you look unbeatable.
He is just a wild case study of college coaching that doesn't make any sense.
But what's his Big Ten record? You looked it up.
Oh, it was
55-5.
It's stupid. It's absurd. The guy does not lose in conference play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting on Lanning because I do think there's areas that he's improved. But then, again, this is the
areas you've been disappointed with?
Yeah, playoff games. Outside of Texas Tech and James Madison. Yeah. Bit of an issue
in the playoff.
Thing that I try and remind myself of, because I did watch a lot of that episode yesterday, and it's just like this expectation debate is going to hang over our head all year.
They did it themselves.
They
yesterday.
Absolutely did, and that's a big takeaway for Media Day for me. And I know we'll get to that a little bit. The thing that I try and remind myself is How many fan bases and coaches were in this moment at any point in the last 10 years? I think there's some that are already there right now. They're just not in our bubble. Texas.
Kirby.
Kirby, sure.
And Georgia were.
Kirby was absolutely this, right? And Georgia fans were like, God, can you do it? Can you do it? And all the question from the national media, can you do it? Can you do it? And then he did it. Ryan Day is a great example. There's other coaches who are going through it. They're just not in our bubble. This is absolutely Sark of Texas.
Yep.
Marcus Freeman has more goodwill because he's been to a national championship game. But
he's
didn't make a playoff last year, and he's in that, like, you got to go do it.
Lane now at LSU.
And so that's how I make myself feel better, because sometimes when you're in your own bubble, you feel like the eyes of everybody are on you, and all the expectations are on Oregon to win a national championship this year, which they certainly are. But it's also, they're not unique to this circumstance and situation.
I will just add this, and then we'll go to the second hour, get to the cafe, and talk a lot more on this with Dan Lanning Audio. I'll say this. There's a term they're using yesterday, and they used it themselves, and everybody else has been using it. And I'm kind of stumped by it. The whole title or bust.
Mm-hmm. You know my stance on that. It's a dumb take.
It is because, like, okay, you lose and you didn't win it. What are you busting? You busting up the whole program?
Right.
You firing Dan Lanning?
Was Miami season a bust last year?
No.
Got a lot of goodwill going into this year.
Not win the Natty,
but of course it is. I've been there. It sucks to lose a national championship.
It's just a fascinating term. Yeah. A lot to get to. Let's kick it off with the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.